which I love. I'm excited about this message. And I think we have the title slide up. Is it up? So it's kind of weird. I was just going to go with stay salty, but that seemed kind of simple. So I went a little more complicated here, and it's just so you know you're salty. Just so you know you're salty. We all understand that from the beginning, God planned the choosing, the calling, the salvation, the justification, the sanctification, and the glorification already but not yet of his children. God's plan is to take his adopted children and conform each one of them into the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." He who calls you is faithful. He will surely sanctify you completely. He will surely keep you, your spirit, soul, and body, blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. In the Greek, this is written in what's called the divine passive. Divine meaning God, passive meaning that it happens to us. It's work that God does in us. We have no part in producing any of these things about being sanctified or being held blameless. It's God always and God only who does the work. So it's God who calls, God who saves, God who keeps, God who sustains. And as God's children, we can take it easy, right? Let God do all this work in us while we just chill and wait for Jesus to come back. I almost expected to hear some groans there, which is what we should be thinking. Absolutely not. There are things as his children that we are called to do. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:1, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Walk, act, live, conduct yourself in a manner worthy. And this word worthy carries with it the expectation of being equal to or balanced with. If you think of it as scales, we have the calling that God has placed upon his children to be his children and to live a life bringing glory and honor to him. And if there's scales, the weight of that calling is heavy. And Paul is saying, walk in a manner worthy, which brings it to balance. As God's children, we need to be walking, living, conducting ourselves in a way that is equal to or balances out the weight of the calling that we have been called to. That's a heavy calling and a huge responsibility. The word calling here is really sweet when we look at it in the Greek. The word calling in Greek is klesis. And in the scriptures, this word for calling is almost exclusively used as an invitation of divine initiative to experience of special privilege and responsibility. So when you see calling as it pertains to the children of God in the scriptures, it almost exclusively means an invitation of divine initiative to experience of special privilege and responsibility. God has invited humans to experience special privilege and responsibility at his own initiative. We have received in Christ God's invitation and special privilege of becoming his adopted sons and daughters. To those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Amen? If Lecrae were here, he would say, we've experienced blessings on blessings on blessings. And if you're not up on your Christian hip hop, I said blessings on blessings on blessings. We've been chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, sealed by the Holy Spirit, united together with the body of Christ, to live with God and praise Him forever in heaven. Hallelujah, what a special privilege. But back to Paul in Ephesians. I think he would agree that this is an amazing thing, that Christ has been revealed, Christ has been received, you've been brought into the kingdom, and now he says, live like it. You've been given the responsibility to be his witnesses in the world. Witnesses to his mission, his purpose, and his work. Now, sometimes we lose track of or we get distracted from this responsibility. Sometimes we just want to know if we're being effective. Matthew 5:13, Jesus says to his followers, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Now we know today that pure sodium chloride or something like table salt, it doesn't lose its taste. That's why I've had the same salt shaker on my desk for like 10 years. It's still good to go. But this isn't the same type of salt that they had available to them in Jesus' times. They had access to salt from places like the Dead Sea, which had contaminants in it. And over time, those contaminants mixed with the salt would seep and pull the taste out of the salt itself, making it worthless. In fact, when Jesus says it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet, tasteless salt still had one use. They would mix it with dirt that they put on top of their roofs because it would harden the soil. And that's where people hung out, up on top of the house. So that it was worthless for its intended purpose. Nothing was wasted by the Lord. Salt had the same uses back then that it does now, to preserve, to stop or slow rot, to enhance the flavor of food. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are salt, special privilege of the earth, responsibility." We act, God's children act, as a preservative in this world, slowing the moral decay by enhancing what is good and right and true. Christians are made salt by Jesus. We are not expected to become salty. We are expected to stay salty, to maintain the flavor of pure salt, namely Jesus. And regardless of how life is going at any given time, whether you're struggling or doubting, dealing with bitterness or depression or dryness or growth, or maybe just plain wondering, where am I at? God, where are you at? What's going on? What's my purpose? How are things going? There's four questions for you today. Not only four, but these are the four that I've picked. I think that the Spirit has given to me. Four questions you can ask yourself so you know that you know you're staying salty. I'm going to give you a question, and I'm going to follow it up with a verse or two to support it. And just understand that as we read through these verses, there is a condition in the verse. When you see the word if, it means if. If, then. So question number one, am I still hoping in Christ alone? Hebrews 3:14. If we have come to share in Christ, if we hold our original confidence to the end. If you are a follower of Jesus, at some point after receiving the truth of the gospel, you placed your hope, your faith, your trust, your confidence in Jesus. And it's in this confidence and this hope that we have the evidence, that it's evidence of our relationship with Jesus and assures us that we are salt. There is no other thing we can place our hope of salvation in. It's in Christ alone. Colossians 1, 22 and 23 reads, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. It's our responsibility to preach the truth of the gospel to ourselves every day. It's our responsibility to preach the gospel to our brothers and sisters in Christ as an encouragement and a reminder that our hope is in Christ alone. Second question, am I abiding in God's word? John 8:31b, if you abide in my word or in my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Now, Jesus here is talking to Jews that have believed in him. And there's a question about the truthfulness, the realness of their faith in him. People were following him or saying that they believed in him because of the miracles that he was performing. And this is apparently a group of people, a group of Jews, that are saying that they believe in him. And he's just challenging the fickleness of their faith by telling them what the cost is. Now, at this time, Jesus was teaching. He was speaking to groups of people who were there in front of them, him. And today, we have the word to go to read and reread and think through and commentaries to help understand. And we have all of that to help us understand what Jesus' teaching is now. And if we abide in his teaching, we are truly his disciples. And the idea of abiding is to continue in, to hold to remain in, to hold close, to cherish, to seek to understand better. All of these things are what's expected of us. If we say we are disciples of Jesus, we are expected to abide in his teaching. When you're abiding in his word, he will make you love him more and more and more. We read his word, we understand his word through the revealing of that knowledge through the Holy Spirit, and then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we apply God's word to our lives rightly. We love his word. We abide in his teaching. We keep it. We hold it close. We cherish it. Number three, am I living life in a way that demonstrates that I know Jesus? 1 John 2:3, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. If we have been abiding in God's word, we will have read and understood, at least in part, God's commands for us in Scripture. And this should lead us to a life of loving obedience. It's something that we strive for. And I'm sure that in reading this verse, that if we keep his commandments, that the Ten Commandments come to mind. And I think that that's important, and those certainly apply. I think that that's good. But if we're focusing on Jesus' teaching, Jesus gave us commands in the scripture. Jesus says things like repent, rejoice, do not worry, keep your word, pray, forgive, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and as Mr. Swatsky would say, with all your muchness. Which I love. He also says, love your neighbor as yourself. If we are in Christ, then we are bringing Christ wherever we go, every interaction we have with another person. So would others say that you're demonstrating that you know Jesus? In the Bible, we're commanded to things because they don't come naturally to us. Jesus needs to tell us to do something or to not do something because it doesn't come naturally. And out of our love for Jesus, we obey. And in doing so, we demonstrate to ourselves and to others that we know him. Last question. Am I investing in the lives of others? Matthew 28, 19. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. His last command is one of our greatest responsibilities, building up the body of Christ and seeking to save the lost. Mature believers in the body of Christ, training up and doing life with the younger generation. But all of us together as ministers of the gospel have the role, the responsibility of bringing the gospel to the world. You are salt of the earth. We are made salt in Christ. We learn how to be salt from God's word. We maintain the flavor of pure salt through loving obedience to Jesus. And as salt, we enhance and perhaps are even used to preserve others with the gospel message as we are poured out into their lives. And so it's my prayer for this group of graduates, it's my prayer for myself and for all of us that we would all stay salty. That we would live a life of hope in Jesus, characterized by prayer. That we would live a life abiding in his word, digging deep, desiring understanding. That we would live a life of love for God, characterized by obedience to him. That we would live a life that seeks to draw others into the worship of our great God and Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit. So as God preserves us in this world, let us, all of us, persevere in the promise of worshiping him together forever in the world to come. If you're wondering how things are going, four questions, simple questions that you can ask yourself. The key here is that when you answer it, you have to be honest with yourself. And for some of these questions, it's going to be a little bit harder to answer than others. But we're called to this in Christ. We're called to be salt, to stay salty, to live for Jesus while we're here. But none of these questions, none of these ifs matter if you haven't trusted in Christ first. If you're sitting here today and you haven't trusted Christ as Lord and as Savior, if you haven't received forgiveness of sins by his shed blood, by submitting your life to him, acknowledging him as God, as King, as worthy of worship, then none of these questions matter. And you have to ask yourself if you want to be obedient to what Jesus said. If you want to be salt in the earth, you have to be his first. And I would encourage you to take the time today to make that happen, to sit before the Lord and ask him to save you, to make you salt, to be his light in the world. If you don't know how to do that, you can find myself or one of the pastors here, Pastor Scott or Pastor Scott, Welcome Center in the back. even these graduates, they should know how to lead you through the gospel. We would love to bring you into the family today by God's grace. As the worship team comes forward, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, you are truly good and holy. And as your children, I know that we've all at some point have sat before you and said, I don't know why you chose me, but I am grateful. And I am grateful and thankful to you for saving my life and teaching me your word, Holy Spirit, for living in me, giving me the strength to be obedient to what I'm called to do as your son. And I pray that there would be a recognition of that in all hearts this morning. That if you belong to Jesus, it's because he chose you, he called you, he justified you, he is sanctifying you, and he will glorify you when he comes back. God, I thank you for who you are, and that everything you do is for your glory and for our good. I pray these things.